Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll hear from the NFL's Senior Director of Football Data and Analytics on how technology has and continues to change the game. We'll take a closer look at OpenAI's new app that puts the power of deepfakes in the hands of everyone who uses it. Oh, joy. Plus, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. I want to start this week's show, though, with a huge thank you to everybody who got their tickets for our first Behind the Screens events. These are two live panels taking place in Dublin on Wednesday of next week, focusing in on the issue of parenting in the digital age. This has been a passion project of mine for many years now. It's taken a while to get off the ground between the jigs, the reels and the odd pandemic thrown in, but it's finally happening and I'm very excited. We've partnered with CyberSafe Kids, who regular listeners will know. Alex Cooney is often on the programme. So Alex is going to be there with me on the day, along with other experts, to answer questions and give advice. But as I said, the first two events are completely sold out. The tickets went in less than 24 hours, which is fantastic. But fear not if you didn't manage to get tickets, because we're going to bring you the key conversations right here on News Talk in a few weeks' time. And if you're in the south of the country, specifically Cork, keep your eyes peeled, because we will be coming your way before the end of October. That will be announced in the next week or so. So keep your eyes peeled on newstalk.com/events. That's where all of the tickets go. It's where the announcements are made. So keep an eye there. But for the moment, I am very excited that our first two events in Dublin are booked. And they are sold out and they are happening. And a large part of why and how this is happening is because of funding from Commissioner Man's Sound and Vision Scheme, which is supported by the TV licence. So I'm very excited. Anyway, speaking of exciting events, we mentioned it at the end of the show last week, but the NFL took to Croke Park on Sunday and there was a serious amount of excitement in the lead up to it. The stadium was buzzing the entire afternoon. I was there. It was my first live NFL experience, and I will confess, I still don't understand the rules or why it is so stoppy-starty. I was sitting next to a few people that I know, and at one stage the clock had run down to 42 seconds and it felt like it had been on 42 seconds for about 20 minutes. I don't understand, but I very much enjoyed the experience. One aspect of the day that I was particularly fixated by was the application and use of technology within the game. Before it all kicked off, I went to the belly of Croke Park and I met with Julie Sousa, who is the Global Head of Sports at AWS, and Mike Lopez, the Senior Director of Football Data and Analytics at the NFL, to learn more about it all. And I started by asking Julie to explain what a Global Head of Sports at AWS actually does.
First of all, it's the best job ever. So really trying to lead our global sports strategy across our global sports portfolio and working with our customers to solve real business problems, right? Whether it be fan engagement or business operations or player health and safety, whatever the use case may be, and how does technology get applied to help solve that problem.
And so is that the individual sports and the teams coming to you guys, or
or is it you guys saying, this is what we have the capability of doing, let's talk?
It's both of those things, and I think the magic happens when we just sit there and focus on a problem together and figure out, you know, how do we approach this together? So, you know, there are times customers come to us, like the NFL, saying, trying to solve player health and safety issues, how can we take the data we're collecting and analyze it to make the game safer? The other times when we're saying, hey, we've got some really strong generative AI tools that we think could drive real operational efficiency for your business.
Yeah.
You know, let's play with those together and see what they, you know, how they perform and how they can, you know, accelerate outcomes.
Yeah, and it's such a fascinating area, particularly because it's still being made up and evolving every single week, right? When it comes to the NFL, you mentioned their player health and safety, which is such an important part of the game, but also the player well-being. Can you give some examples of where AWS has come into play there?
I could talk about this all day. I love it so much. So interesting. First of all, to give a sense of what we're collecting here from a data perspective, the league collects data off of the players through chips in the, you know, in the shoulder pads and in the helmet, not in the helmet, sorry, and in the ball. And then there's also optical tracking applied, which is cameras collecting, you know, skeletal pose data so that they can get more information as it pertains to player health and safety. And with that, you're collecting 500 million points of data per week to inform the player health and safety use cases. And with that, they're looking at which plays are more injurious. There's a play called the swivel hip drop tackle, and they found out by analyzing the data that caused 20 times injury rate over a normal pass or run play. So the league banned that play last year, right? So they're changing the rules. Also, they're understanding that the way a quarterback absorbs a hit is very different than the way a wide receiver might absorb a hit. So there are different position-specific helmets now, too. So the equipment is evolving. And then further, it's how do we give tools to the team so that they can understand the players that are potentially at risk of injury and get to those players and mitigate that risk, right? Load management, training regimens, things like that. So it's interesting that there's a product called the Digital Athlete, which is the player health and safety portal that all 32 clubs had access to starting two seasons ago. And in that season, there were 700 fewer missed games by players because teams had the data at their disposal to action it, right? And say, hey, you know, he might incur some sort of injury or strain, and so let's ease up on the training this week or whatnot. So really exciting to see the game become safer. We're coming off a season lowest concussion rate ever in the NFL. So for somebody who gets to play with sports and tech all day, this makes my heart feel happy, right? Yeah. That we're making the game safer.
Yeah, I was reading some stats about the reduction in concussions since this technology came into play, and that is a reminder that this isn't just a fun thing, it's an important thing for player safety and well-being. And I'm wondering how much dialogue goes on between the technology creators and the users to ensure that they can take action from the information, because I know my wearable on my wrist gives me a huge amount of data. It sounds cool, but I don't always know what it means. And I think it's really important that if you have data points, it's explained and delivered in a way that's actionable. How much dialogue happens between AWS and the different teams that are out there?
I mean, it's a tremendous amount. It doesn't work without that feedback,
sure,
right? And I always say, tech for tech's sake is not terribly interesting to me. I'll say that. Tech with a business purpose matters. And I think data is only effective if you know what to do with it and how to communicate it. And I think that even relates to things like next-gen stats, right? That sort of information is meant to entertain and edify an audience and bring them closer to the game. This player health and safety data, they have to understand how to interpret it and how it can be applied and actioned. So that's a continuous feedback loop, working with the league and with teams to understand how it's being used and how to evolve it, how to make it better.
One of the things I know about the NFL, and I don't know much about the NFL, but I know that information is shared with the fans, and fans can gain insight into the players, how much they're running, they're moving, they're throwing, whatever it is. That must be a really cool part of this as well, is the fan engagement and bringing the fan closer to the action.
100%, and it's, I think, particularly important to the NFL, which is a uniquely, you know, American football is a uniquely American sport, and not a very easy one to follow if you're not familiar
Absolutely.
With it, right? So can this data help fans, new fans, global fans. We see, I mean, obviously we're here in Dublin, celebrating sort of the global, the importance of a global footprint for the NFL. How do we take this data to edify an audience and have them understand what they're watching? Oftentimes I get the question, does this data just make it too heady and make it, you know,
too nerdy and too neat, and you have to have a degree or a PhD to understand it?
Right, and if that's how it's coming across, then we're doing it wrong, right? The whole point is to make you understand what you're watching. And I'll tell you, our sister company over at Amazon Prime Video has the distribution rights for Thursday Night Football in the United States, and they did something really interesting in one of their telecasts where they put sort of glowing discs, right, graphics underneath players that were going to potentially blitz the quarterback, right? And so it brought the viewers' attention to that so they could see, okay, this is what I should be aware of. And I'll tell you, when it actually transpired and that action happened, the fans just like, oh, I'm so smart. Like, look what I just saw coming from a mile away, right? And so it's just, how do you use the data in ways that bring people in and not alienate them?
And that is something that fascinates me, because I'm a data nerd. I love all of the information possible. But I do think it's a bit of a balancing act, right, to embrace the technology and the analytics and the insights alongside the gameplay and the player instinct. And, you know, for watching just this past weekend, Rory McIlroy out in the golf course, you love his instinct.
Yeah.
You don't want the technology to infiltrate that and impact that. So how do you guys balance the two?
Well, it is a balance, right? And you recognize that the data is a tool. It is not the answer, necessarily. So I was just talking about this earlier with a colleague over at the NFL. We were talking about how you have these predictive tools now that could tell a coach what to do in a particular circumstance, but only the coach is going to know, hey, that player potentially rolled his ankle on that last play, or, you know what, he's having a tough day, or the other team just substituted and they don't have their strongest player in that field. We're going to exploit that weakness right now. So there's all these judgment calls that happen in sport, in terms of where you apply the data from a coaching aspect, and also how you convey it to fans. And I think sometimes just silence and letting the game play out is really powerful, right? And so that's where I even think it's interesting when you see the adoption of streaming and people can sort of choose their own adventure and how they want to consume sport or content. People who want the data cast can opt into that. Other people can have a traditional broadcast. But I think it's, you know, it is high judgment as to when to apply it. And I think ultimately fans will decide what they want and what they don't want.
But behind the scenes, and again, my partner is a big NFL fan, so I sit down every Sunday and we watch the Red Zone, whether I want to or not. But I'm always struck by the coaches on the side with their tablets, and struck by the drone cameras flying around. There's so much technology in the system now, or in the stadiums now. How much of a role do you guys play in terms of scraping away some of the noise and trying to distill what actually could potentially be impactful, whether the coach decides to take it on or not?
Well, it's interesting too, because even though they're collecting all of this data, the coaches, there's very limited data that they're permitted to have real time in the game, right?
Okay.
So a lot of this data is fueling the pregame strategy and the postgame analysis, right? But so yes, I mean, what we're doing from an AWS perspective is providing a lot of that infrastructure for that data to get to where it needs to go in the cloud quickly, be processed quickly for, you know, broadcast partners who want to be able to convey what's happening.
And that's huge now as well,
huge,
right?
Huge. I mean, and you're seeing, like I said, these sort of proliferations of broadcasts. There's a data cast, there's probably, you know, and you start thinking about the different personas, so people who want to consume content. Even the data is underlying, I don't know if you're familiar, the league did a Simpsons version of the NFL game. They did a Toy Story version of the NFL game. The National Hockey League in the U.S. did a City Greens version of an NFL. So they're using all of this underlying tracking data, but they're turning the players into cartoons to bring in a younger audience, right? So you start thinking there's really unique ways of using this data to engage that isn't completely heady.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of it. It's the interpretation and the delivery of the information. I'd say 80% of fans may not instantly think of you guys in that orbit, because if you're doing your job right, we don't even think about it.
Exactly. No, exactly right. And I always say, you know, that there's hardcore science to what we're doing here. There's machine learning. There's, you know, a tremendous amount of compute. But the art is the storytelling, right? And so how do you tell the story in a way that translates that matters? And so you're right. AWS, if we're doing it right, we're just enabling the storytellers to tell their stories in a way that are going to reach fans in the most compelling ways possible.
And I know my final question is, I know that we're here because of the NFL, but you guys are working in the background in so many different sports. Is there one area that you're excited to see the impact of the technology? So I mentioned golf earlier on, for example. It is fascinating to me to see what's coming down the track there. But as a sports fan and as a tech fan yourself, is there one sport in particular that you love watching the implementation of this technology coming into play?
I'm here with the NFL right now, so I'm
you have to say that, right?
Look, I love all our children. PGA Tour is doing tremendous things, capturing data on the course and being able to predict the moment the ball is hit, like within inches of where it's going to land, right? So I think they're all embracing data in a way that serves their needs. Formula One, we work with them. They use over, they're collecting 1.1 million points of data per second off of the cars, right? It's a tremendous amount of data. And they're using it to drive things like F1 Insights, very much analogous to next-gen stats here at the NFL. But they're doing that, and they're using that same data to help, they redesign the car entirely, right? So the use cases are going to vary depending on the property, but I think you're always looking at, you know, baseline business problems we're solving, driving fan engagement, making the game safer, more exciting, solving our business problems, making things easier for our staff, our partners. And I'm really excited to see the application of generative AI applied to this space, because I think that's only going to accelerate some of those outcomes.
Michael Lopez, Senior Director of Football Data and Analytics with the National Football League. I mean, our job is to use football data to enhance the game. So that's everything from the on-field technology, the rules, the players, the equipment, officiating, health and safety, really all aspects of whatever happens on the game we like to be able to track, and then use that information to figure out how to recommend to the league, you know, how to make the rules and how to improve the game itself. It's, you know, we like to think of it as the most exciting game in professional sports, and we want to keep it that way.
I mentioned on the station last week that the NFL has sort of been a leader in terms of embracing technology, new types of technologies. Can you just talk through some of the technology that yourself and your team would use to gain those insights to then feed up the chain?
Sure. So one of the innovations over the last decade or so that the NFL has put together is what we call next-gen stats. So every player in their shoulder pads will wear two RFID chips, one in the left shoulder pad, one in the right shoulder pad, basically the size of a thumbnail, and mostly weightless. And those devices track where the players go, wherever they are on the field. So every player, every play, every game is tracked with that next-gen stats data. We get that data ourselves at the league office. The teams get it. You can see how fast players are going, how quickly they change direction. You can see a receiver almost get open before the quarterback throws him the ball. And the league has really embraced this new data because it's helping us make the game better. It's helping the players figure out the best patterns to run, the best ways to make a tackle. And it's sort of new levels of insight that for a long time the NFL was not able to put together.
And so tell me a little bit about the R&D that must go on to find products like this, because as you said, if it's the size of a thumbnail, it's not going to impact the weight the players are carrying and so on. So it must be important to have all of those elements bang on so that the player can still do their job whilst also giving the data back.
Yeah, and one of the fun parts there is there's also a chip in the ball. And that, you know, is probably even most important, because if you think about how a quarterback throws the ball, if a quarterback knows that there's a RFID chip in it and it's changing the direction or the spin of the ball, the quarterback's not going to be very happy. So we got to make sure that, you know, basically the players almost don't know that this data is being collected. And then it's pretty impressive. The data comes in near real time, you know, maybe, you know, less than a 2-second lag between when that data comes in and, you know, when we get to see it. And it's somewhere between 99.7 and 99.8% complete, and so we're rarely missing players, we're rarely missing plays, and so it's pretty all encompassing in terms of what the league is able to do with this data.
And I know a key part of data collection is also the interpretation and ensuring that it's not just noise.
Yeah.
How important is it that the right bits of data are going to the right people and being processed in a way that is meaningful and impactful?
Yeah, I mean, that whole setup is something that I probably didn't appreciate before I came to work at the league office. You know, we're dealing with all types of data. You know, our traditional play-by-play data has been around for decades, but this data is new. When Next Gen Stats started, you know, there wasn't a blueprint for how the NFL should go about and collect this data and share it with teams. But not only is it taking the data and having it and making sure that it's correct, it's also what to do with it and how to gain those new insights. And one of the really cool parts of working at the NFL is being able to use this data to figure out new things, create new metrics on players, create new metrics on teams, and the level of insight that we're able to get from, you know, modern NFL data is substantially greater than it was even 5-7 years ago when we just started getting this data. And so having access to do that and to improve the game is really fun.
And in terms of balancing the data and the analytics alongside the sport, we've had quite a few debates in this very stadium in Croke Park about our national sports embracing things like Hawkeye technology. Does it slow down the game? Does it get in the way of the decisions? How do you guys balance that seesaw between tech and insight and then actual gameplay?
Yeah, I mean, I think seesaw is the exact word that we use. Depending on how far you want to push on one end of the seesaw, that might unbalance the game in a way that you don't like. And, you know, the levers we're trying to pull from the league office are competitive, right? How does this rule change? Does this decision? Does this process impact the competitiveness of the game? Officiating, you know, we like to think that we could get every call correct if we were able to go to review and take forever. But that would help officiating, but it would impact pace of play. And so the next lever we think about is how efficient is our replay process? How quick is our replay process? You know, our review system in the NFL is the fastest and most efficient it has ever been. We have fewer time spent on, you know, basically what I would call wasted challenges or wasted reviews where we stop the game and then nothing changes. You know, we are the most efficient the NFL has ever been in that sense. We like to think our game moves quickly when we do pause the game. But it is balancing, you know, those levers. And then the other one that we think a lot about is health and safety. So there's a lot of elements of the game that have changed over the last decade, which we like to think of, you know, won't have a big impact on officiating, won't have a big impact on pace of play, but we'll make the game more competitive, and then we'll also make the game safer. And so that's the sort of last but also important level is trying to make sure that the, you know, our injury rates are as low as we can push them while, without compromising the competitiveness.
And for fans of the game, you know, that they'll see what you guys have that we don't have is, you know, on the side, the coaches will have tablets and they'll be getting information, they'll be taking action and making calls based on that information. How important is the basics of connectivity? Because again, you could have all the sensors in the world, but if the connectivity dips for a second, you're goosed.
Yeah, and it's if the connectivity dips for a second and it's for one team, then that's a competitive, you know, that could compromise our competitive equity too, right? And so, you know, the league has to set up, make sure that the technology is able to work for the coaches, for the staffers. You know, we have, you know, armies of teams will, you know, somewhere have upwards of 20 folks in a room trying to collect micro data and share some of this. And it's a very intense process that you know, you really gain an appreciation for how hard these folks are working just to gain any sort of competitive edge. And then if anything goes out for one team in terms of, you know, there's an electrical failure or there's a lightning thing, and, you know, then it's shut off for the other team because, you know, you want to make sure that you know, one team's not able to get an edge that the other team's not able to get.
Talking of getting the edge, there's been a lot of talk in pretty much every sector about the impact of AI and how it will help make insightful decisions. And I believe that's already come into play quite a bit in the NFL. Can you just talk through one or two scenarios, again, for those who may not be overly familiar with the game, where, when, and why AI gets called upon?
Sure. So, for years in almost all of sport, when you would think about how to evaluate amateur players, you were often watching a film of that player and then making notes, right? So you'd have a scout, maybe they'd go watch the game, maybe they'd be watching a film and they'd say, all right, this player has great acceleration, or they have great hip burst, or they have a great touch if we're talking football, European football. So those are the things that coaches would collect over time. One of the modern ways that AI is able to help sport, especially American football, is that we can take video and turn it into the same stats that the coaches or the scouts had been previously collecting. So, for example, in the National Football League, we get the majority of our players in the draft. They come from, you know, American college football. And so one of the real modern ways that teams are trying to gain an edge is to take college film and turn it into those same metrics that they had always been collecting on the players. But AI is able to do that faster and do it at scale. And so instead of having a scout go to every single college game, or instead of having somebody watch film of every single college game, you know, maybe you could plug it into an AI tool that could figure out, all right, you know, this player runs 22 miles an hour, this player has this change of direction or this acceleration or this burst or whatever. And then knowing that that's possible suddenly opens up sort of a lot newer, you know, both sort of newer levels of analysis, but it also maybe frees up your scouts to go look at other players or try to find some type of edge that hasn't been found before. So, you know, that we're just getting there. You know, the data, you know, as most folks, if you're watching pro sports, there's a lot of what we'll call occlusion in American football, where one player is maybe blocking the other player. And so that can be a little bit tricky to maybe see everybody at all times. But we're just starting to figure out some of the ways that we can use that video data.
And so my final question is, for people listening to this now who want to work in the world of professional sports but maybe didn't, you know, cut the grade on the pitch, am I right in saying that there are careers and opportunities and future opportunities for people who are engaging with different kinds of technology, thinking of using it in new and novel ways, and also gaining insights from the data that's generated?
Sure. So at the league office, we run an event called the Big Data Bowl, and our job is to use our current modern player tracking data to get people into football data, because it is now a career path. Our team staffers, you know, roughly maybe 6-7 years ago, there were maybe 60 or 70 NFL statisticians or data scientists. We're over 150 now, and a lot of them have come from our data science competition. One of the reasons we were in Dublin this week is we put on an event at UT Dublin with the goal of sharing some of our data and trying to get students interested in our sport. And one of the real realities of working with data is that it really levels the playing field. If you can code, you know, you can code and figure out really cool insight. If you know how to use AI or you know how to use machine learning techniques, you can probably help NFL teams gain an edge. And so we know teams are after that, and our job at the league office is to serve our teams. And so we're trying to help them get talent in terms of figuring out how to use all this new data to find an edge.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
Yeah, that was Mike Lopez, Senior Director of Football Data and Analytics at the NFL. And before that, Julie Souza, Global Head of Sports at AWS, speaking to me in Croke Park last Sunday. I also know that there is a huge amount of technology in golf, as Julie mentioned, in the NBA, so in basketball. I would love to get your thoughts, though. Are you a fan of the extra layers of data and information and stats that come through, or do you think that it gets in the way of gameplay and the pace of it all? You can email me, techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, we're going to take a closer look at a new app launched by OpenAI. So they're the company behind ChatGPT. It's called Sora. And essentially, it places the power to create deepfakes in the hands of anyone who uses it. But could this be the end of social media?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.